You ever heard that phrase, keep your powder dry? You know what that used to mean? It referred to the old flintlock rifles and things where they had to keep the powder in a horn and actually put the powder in and tamp it down, put in the wad, put in the bullet, you know, and do all of those things. It would take almost, for a skilled marksman, maybe 20 to 30 seconds just to load. But they knew good and well that if they got their powder wet, at best, it would not perform as well as it should. Now, today we have cartridges that keep your powder from getting wet. But you still need to take care of your weapon. Dirt, moisture, all of those things, a sight that is out of line. You don't want to drop it on the barrel end, do you? No, throw everything out. And so it behooves us once in a while to take care of our weapons too. To stop and say, is my powder a little wet? And this came to me as a subject for us in the hopes that you experience some of the same things that I do. Sometimes we can become, I can become fatigued in prayer. Sometimes it can get a little bit stale, it seems, on my end. Sometimes even in a book that is written to Christians in a church, it says, don't pray and doubt, because then you're like the waves that are tossed to and fro. Sometimes we wonder if God even answered. Sometimes the answer comes, but the answer comes in other ways, like with the assistance of the medical community. It may be prayers of other people that we don't know about. It may be assistance that came. But our prayers still have an effect. I believe that. And I trust that you do as well. But I'm wondering if I haven't settled for mediocre prayers because I've let the winds blow me a little bit. Because it doesn't get answered the exact way that I want it to. Now, I have to say that I am a lot better at prayer now than I was when I first became a Christian. You go through phases and there is room for growth. And as we're talking about prayer today, we're not going to talk about anything that's, as I said before, an egregious sin, something that is a blaring thing that we need to make right with God. It's more of an alignment within ourselves with the things of God. And I think sometimes we can even take scripture and get some of our wires crossed with this. I'll just ask you, you can just give me a quick nod or something. Have you ever felt like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling? Like sometimes they don't go anywhere, and sometimes we pray for healing and they get worse, things such as that. But a little personal honesty here. Sometimes I just sit quietly and in my heart hope that something will change, and I actually find when I look back, I didn't actually say anything to the Lord about it. I didn't even talk to Him about it. I just sat and waited and hoped that it would get better. I don't know where to put people who say my thoughts and my prayers are with you. I think the thoughts part is supposed to communicate that you mean enough to me that you intrude on my everyday thoughts, and we can take it that way. But that conveys a love and a care for them, but it doesn't change the situation, right? The prayers are what changes the situation. Now, if it was just me in my own power speaking to the Lord, then I would really be in trouble. But God has said that He has given us His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit rests in us and teaches us and leads us so that we might know the things of God. What did we sing? If more of you means less of me, then take everything. Get it out of the way. Because my prayers, just in myself, are not very powerful. But when I'm praying in concert with the Spirit of God, then they can move mountains. Jesus told us that. Sometimes I don't pray. I just wait and I hope. Sometimes I just tag on, you know, just go through the prayer list real quick and in Jesus' name. And we should say in Jesus' name. Jesus told us, now here's where the wires get crossed a little bit. Anything you ask in my name will be given to you. We skip that middle part sometimes. Anything you ask in my name will be given to you. And I especially thought this as a young Christian. I was taught, you better end all your prayers with in Jesus' name. Because it's like an application, and if you have a degree, you're applying for a job, that's going to be in the, yeah, you might get it pile, and if you don't have a degree, that's not even in a pile. Right? So you better be, say, I have a PhD, I have a BA, I have an MA. In Jesus' name. That's our credentials. But I've found sometimes in my life, my mission creep can change because when we understand that what in Jesus' name actually means, that it means that we are in concert with His mind and what He is looking for, not tagging on a line so it gets into the to be considered pile when it gets to heaven. Sometimes I don't even clarify what I'm asking for. There are two problems with that. I don't know what answer I'm looking for, and I can't acknowledge it when it comes. I was just lucky today. Things went well for me today. But what if I were able to say, God answered a real prayer today? The fact of me not saying it doesn't negate the fact that God moved today. And God did what was really central in my heart, but I didn't know it because I still haven't identified that as something central to my heart. It's like not being able to be excited for Christmas because you don't know what you want. You're just hoping that other people know what you want. And God wants to give us good things, but not only to give us good things, but to be delighted in Him. That's what He is looking for. He is looking for the relationship. So sometimes I don't pray. Sometimes I just tag on in Jesus' name as if that's going to give it an elevated status in the heavens. And sometimes I don't even clarify what I'm asking for. James 4:2, you know, we read from James chapter 1. James 4:2 says this, "You do not have because you do not ask God." And I have to stop and ask, why don't I ask God sometimes? Now, sometimes I'll ask, but I'm not sure what His will is. And by the way, if you think that it is not, that it's not good to ask God, Jesus, I mean, we're told in Scripture to ask God these things. You may not get the answer you expect, but God will answer. God delights in the relationship with His people and with His family. You don't have because you do not ask. And when I evaluate myself, I think that it's one of two things. Either I've got it right and I am surrendering. Sometimes I don't know what to ask for. And I can simply say, I know You are good. I don't know what to ask for. I feel my sinful self getting in the way to ask for things that I probably shouldn't. And I want You to do what You need to do in me. Okay? That can be a faithful response. But I find that there is the other side, that sometimes if I look back and I say, well, I prayed for this and I didn't get that, and I was disappointed and maybe a little bit disillusioned as well. And now I'm afraid to ask, because there could have been a lot of reasons why God gave the answer that he gave. As a matter of fact, there are many reasons that God has, and they're better reasons than ours. But on my side, I look at it and I get disappointed and disillusioned, and I don't want to be there again, so I'm not going to ask. I want to be fit, but I'm not going to go to the gym because I always give up at the gym. I don't want to be disappointed anymore. So I'll just accept the way I am. It's okay, you know. I'm fit enough to do what I need to do. I would like to be more fit. But when it comes to feeling that way about prayer, this is good enough, and I don't want to risk, I don't want to be disappointed. You're not in danger of hellfire or anything like that, but you may be in danger of missing some of the great blessings that God has for you. I want to experience that. You know, I want to experience the authority that we have in prayer. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So we have to evaluate ourselves and ask, when I am reacting this way, is it really an act of faith? Is it really the Spirit working in me, turning it over to God and waiting for His goodness, especially if we don't know what to say? You know, the Scripture tells us that the Spirit is there to intercede for us with groanings that we cannot understand before the throne of God. Sometimes the Spirit has to take over for us. We don't know enough, but we know the one who does. Is it faith, or is it fear of disappointment and being disillusioned again? You see, pray the prayer anyway, because faith and prayer and the answer clarifies our relationship with God. There's no one in this room that can say you fully know God. You can fully know God from your understanding, but we will be learning about God for an absolute eternity. There is no depth of God that we can fully plumb. And so when we pray, between the prayer and the answer, we learn more about Him. It's not about the circumstance. It's about learning more about Him. So prayer forces clarity and shows us that God wants relationship, not vague spirituality. Okay. If that sounded harsh, it didn't mean it to. What we're talking about is He doesn't want the mechanics of prayer. He wants the relationship that prayer brings. Doesn't that sound good? That's what He has for us. So sometimes we don't ask, and sometimes we ask, but there's something else going on. As far as doubt and disappointment, the scripture that we heard talks about being tossed by the waves. And I found out just recently that every time that I read this scripture, I had inserted something in that statement. And I had inadvertently in my mind said that if you doubt, you're like a boat tossed by the waves. It doesn't say that. It says you are a wave tossed by the wind. You see the difference? A wave has no control over its direction. It has no purpose or destination in mind. It just exists and it's gone. So we would have, if that fits the analogy, we would have a prayer and we would have an idea and a destination, but it's gone just as soon as the wind changes. When can you ever say that a wave has reached its goal? You can't. And I think the scripture doesn't say that you are like a boat on the waves, because a boat can do something about its direction. Did you know a sailboat can sail against the wind? with the right crew and the right expertise, you might be a little bit off tack, but by weaving back and forth, that boat can get to port ahead of a wind. But sometimes I feel like I'm like the disciples in the boat. Jesus said, go on over to the other side. They had just fed 5,000 people. The disciples get in the boat and take off. It's not that far across. But it says they had been rowing all night because the wind was against them. And in the midst of that wind that caused them trouble, that kept them from getting to their destination, Jesus comes walking on the waves and the wind. And the wind that caused the waves. The reason I bring that out is, you know the story. Peter says, if that's really you, because they thought it was a ghost, if that's really you, tell me to come out on the waves. And Jesus says, come on. And then he gets out on the waves, and then he looks down at the waves, and what happens? He gets scared, right? He doubts. I don't know if I would doubt if I was already on the wave, but I maybe I would. I'd probably get down there and thinking, what in the world is going on? Because I looked at the waves and my feet instead of keeping my eyes on Jesus. But watch this. Jesus gets in the boat and the waves and the wind die down. Let me ask you something. Are waves and wind necessary for Jesus to walk on the water to get to you? Doesn't he come to us in our greatest time of trial? Isn't that the time when God shows up, when things start looking hopeless? Don't curse the wind and the waves, just don't be tossed by it. Because let me guarantee you, when Jesus is in your boat, it doesn't matter. You know what happened to that boat? They blinked their eyes and they were at their destination. They were exhausted from rowing. They didn't row there. Jesus got in the boat and they got there. Prayer is our boat. Prayer is our energy, our motion, our direction. The waves had motion without direction. They had energy without progress. They were always moving, but rarely arriving. But when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, they got all of that. Motion with direction, energy with progress, and moving and arriving. Now, here's an important clarification. This thing about doubt, it's not about your intellect, okay? It's not necessarily about thinking right. It's a divided loyalty, in essence. It's a heart thing. Having a trust and knowing that when Jesus says, let's go to the other side, you're going to get to the other side. There was another time where there was a big storm, and Jesus is asleep in the back, and these seasoned fishermen come and ask him, wake him up and say, don't you care that we are drowning? Now, if it could be an absolute calm day, and if there were just a few waves there, I've been out on boats that I think I'm going to drown, right? Oh, these were just inexperienced people who, you know, didn't like being on the water. No, these were fishermen who had their business on the water and knew how to sail inside and out. And they say, Jesus, we're drowning. Aren't you going to do anything about it? And he stands up and he calms the wind and the waves. And that's when something really clicks for them. And they say, this isn't just a normal guy. And that's when it clicks for us. This is not just a normal prayer. See, when Jesus tells us to ask for anything in his name, that means we are aligned with the Spirit and what Jesus himself is looking for in us and in our communities. See, we're not faithless many times as believers. We're just fatigued. We're in the middle of the boat, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee with the wind against us. But that disappointment can lead to quiet resignation, and that's where it's dangerous. If prayers have felt ineffective, maybe it isn't the way that it really is. Sometimes we can sit back and say, maybe this is what true prayer is. Maybe this is what it feels like. I would challenge you that in our sinful state, we need to stop and say, there's more. There is more. And that's what I'm saying to myself right now. When I go to pray, there is more. Jesus said, if you are aligned with Him, you can even move mountains. Some of you are facing mountains. If prayers have felt ineffective, maybe it's not the way it really is. Maybe something just drifted. So let's undrift it. If misalignment caused the drift, if it's faith, keep on, keep on. But if it's misalignment, let's realign it, because that restores stability. In Scripture, there's another way that we hinder our prayers. I'm going to read to you John 14, verses 13 to 15. Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. But James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Do you see how this is a stark picture of how things align? If you ask for anything in my name, anything consistent with my character, with my goals, with glorifying the Father, it's going to get done. But if you are doing it for your own pleasures, I still hear your prayers, but your prayers are, you're not getting it because you are going to use it on bad things. I think there was a movie where I think Jim Carrey did it, where you know, all of a sudden he could hear all the prayers of everyone. And, you know, he can't handle it as a human. And so at the end of it, he just decides, yes to everything. And if they really took time with it at that movie, that yes to everything would destroy so many people. Not only the person that the answer came for, but the people around them too. You realize God's blessings either advance goodness for people around you or is to their detriment if God were to do that? He's not going to do that. He loves them just as much as He loves you. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Even in that, if you spend it on your pleasures, and even if it is pleasurable, and even if it does advance your life, God is also concerned about the people who are around you. So this is a wrong motive. And in this case, especially, praying in His name is not a password to get what you want. Someone told me that a good balance to see about your prayers. If you want to know if you're praying in Jesus' name, how do you keep it from being just a tag on the end of it? Imagine that as a representative of a company, you are making a contract with someone. You're making an offer that they can accept. And it's actually at your cost. You're not the owner, but you know what the owner wants. So you make the contract, you sign it, and then you write out the check in the owner's name. So when we are praying for someone and calling down the resources of heaven and using the authority that's been given to us for our prayers, can you at the end go, Jesus would pay for this? Jesus wants this for them and for me enough that he would sign the check. Would he? If you can answer that yes, then you're praying in Jesus' name. If you have the authority to use that name. One final thing real quick that hinders our prayers. Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered." We don't read Proverbs very often, do we? If I want heaven's ear, I have to keep my heart open to earthly cries. And I find my heart wandering. I work at the food pantry, and I remind the crews, and I remind myself every time, you're going to see people, and you're going to want to think, if they would have done something different, then they wouldn't have to be here. Well, there's no sin in being there to start off with. But God is telling us to hear their cries. And if all we do is shut ourselves off from them and say they're getting what they deserve, yeah, maybe they are. So what? Do you want to get what you deserve? Seriously? In the spiritual realm? Why don't we give them what we want and, dare I say, what we have already received? Haven't we received blessing upon blessing? Glory upon glory? Hasn't He given us in full? And even given us some things that we want for our own pleasure? Hasn't He? And which one of us has done anything to deserve it? Well, I accepted Jesus. Well, even that was your gift. You didn't do that. So let's be generous with Him so that our prayers are not hindered. Because you see, if we're going to pray effectively, we have to be aligned with His heart. And where is His heart? With the humble, with the needy, with the poor. And if I'm praying goodness for them, then that is going to be freeing for us. Let's not ignore the hurting. Corinthians says this, 1 Corinthians 13, "Even though I pray with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, I'm just a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong. It's just spiritual noise. If I don't have love." And says this about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not insist on its own way. And it does not keep a list of wrongs. So if you find yourself having trouble praying for the good of somebody who doesn't deserve it, maybe we should read 1 Corinthians 13 again. Because that teaches us the heart of God. And that helps us to have effective prayers. We close our eyes to the hurting. If we do, why would heaven open its ears to us? And Scripture says it doesn't. One thing real quick. Sometimes you get a no. You ever gotten a no from God? Usually we interpret that by, He didn't answer my prayer. Yes, He did. He said no. But we don't like that. So He just didn't answer me. Yeah. Because a no causes us to reevaluate, doesn't it? Why hasn't this aligned with God? Is it the wrong timing? Have I got the wrong motivations? Did I not really pray it? Was I not specific in my prayer? Now, how can I get there? Is the no because of something that I put in as an obstacle, or is it just not the timing of it? You know, there are a lot of things that can go into that. I'll just give you an example. You know that I moved many times as I was growing up, 14 times before I was 16. I can move a sofa through a thin door because I've done it 100 times. I don't know how many times I prayed as a child that we could just stay somewhere for a while. Because you never have close friends. Even when you move somewhere and God gives you a friend quickly, you know it's not going to last. Because the same things that made you move before make you keep moving. We moved in with elderly relatives to take care of them, but really because we didn't have any place to go. God bless them. God bless Aunt Lil. God bless Aunt Jenny. I know we were extra stressed because many of them died while we were there. But they helped us until the day that they died. I prayed that we wouldn't have to move anymore. But I can look back and I got the answer, no. That's harsh, isn't it? Until you find out that his plan for me was in an itinerant ministry that was on the road 10 months out of the year. It was not only a no, but an emphatic no, but turned into a glorious no. And I know the tendencies of my heart, and I can look back and I know that had we stayed in some place long enough, I would have been in trouble. I would have gotten in trouble. I was not a leader in righteousness. My heart does not tend that way. But by the grace of God, he said no. And now I can bring glory to God for it. Because I've had a good life. And he has done nothing but bring good to me. Even when my prayers are messed up. Well, here's what I'm going to do. We're not going to have a closing song today. Maybe we haven't been asking. Maybe we've been quietly resigned. Maybe we've been signing Jesus' name on the check without thinking about it. Maybe we've closed our ears to others. But let's see if we can make it right. Let's see if we can get adjusted. You know, a chiropractor doesn't do anything except put things back into place where they should have been. So if our prayers are a little out of line, let's admit it and let the great chiropractor do his job. Okay? So here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to lead a prayer as a fellow struggler. And then in a moment, I'm going to ask you, everyone in the room, to bow your heads and close your eyes. Okay? Just because I want what happens to be something personal between you and Jesus. I'm going to close my eyes. And in fact, I'm going to turn around and face this direction. Because we all have a picture that God's up there, right? Okay? And when I'm here, God's talking to you over my shoulder. But as we come to our King, I need to come to. So if you respond, I'm not going to see it. Nobody else is going to see it because you're all going to close your eyes and bow your head, right? Right? Okay, thank you. Because if you don't, our sensibilities may lead us not to respond to him. That's what we need today. So I will ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and then I will ask you to do something. And at one point, I will just simply start counting down.